Grab your Bibles now. Remain standing. Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 12 this morning. We'll read responsively verses 24 through verse number 27. Mark chapter number 12. I'll begin reading in verse number 24 out loud, and then you'll join me on verse 25. We'll alternate like that down through verse number 27. Mark chapter number 12. Beginning in verse number 24. Bible says in Mark 12:24, "And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err."
And let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. I pray that you'd help us today as we open up the pages of this old black book. Truths that have been given that transcend time, generation, nations, race, everything. They're just as alive today as they were when they were given. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a truth today that would change our lives. And Lord, would you change eternity because of what's done today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Most religion is about this life. Religion wants you to do your best, follow their traditions and their rituals to potentially merit eternal life. Therefore, religion is about this life. Church is not religion. Religion is what man says God has to accept that man does so that man can get to heaven. Church is about, thus saith the Lord God. It is written. Jesus came to start the church, not religion. Religion had been around for many millenniums. Even many Christian, and I use that very loosely, denominational churches are all about this life. That's why they are now preaching what I would call a sociable gospel. Oh, we have to be accepted by society. We've got to be like the world so we can reach the world. Let's play the world's music, and let's have coffee shop ministries, and let's have all these other little things to be like the world so the world will like us and come to church. God said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. We're not supposed to be like the world to reach the world. We're supposed to be like God so the world wants what we have. God makes a very interesting statement that arrested my attention recently. I want you to look at Mark chapter 12, and our text verse is verse number 27. I'm about to shout, so hang on. Mark 12, 27. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Amen. God is not the God of the cemetery. He is the God of those alive today. God is the God of eternal and everlasting life, not the temporary life this world brings. Amen. So if God is the God of the living, who is the God of the dead? Satan. For the wages of sin is death. And Satan is the originator of sin. Therefore, God says you are of your father, the devil. So if God is the God of the living, Satan is the God of death. Now listen to me very carefully here. The lost world, people who have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, the unsaved, only have this life. because they face eternal death in hell. So everything to them is about this life. To those of us who are saved, we have eternity to look forward to. And may I tell you something? To those of us who are saved, this is as bad as it ever gets. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Can I tell you something? I'm glad this world's not my home. I'm glad I'm just passing through. This week I sat on the couch with my brother-in-law. Been faced with horrible cancer. Pancreatic cancer that has spread to his liver and to his lungs within 3 weeks. And quite honestly, if we can get him through the next month or two, we'll be doing good. Lost 45 pounds in 5 weeks. Strapping, tough Marine. Former Marine. No such thing as an ex-Marine. Paul looked at me and he said, Craig, so much I want to do. I want to be here for Crystal, and they're rearing they've got 2 6-year-old granddaughters that they've adopted. He said, I want to be here for the girls. And I said, Paul, I hate to tell you, but you're not going to be. He said, I know that, but I want to be. I said, you've invested in them, they know. You take what time you have left and keep loving them. And we talked heart to heart. And he said, I just don't understand why God is doing this. And I stood up. I walked across. I put my arm around him and I said, buddy, God's not. I said, sin causes death, not God. This is the devil, not God. Don't blame God for this. And I quoted Mark 12:27 to him, where God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. I said, Paul, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. I said, now you have to focus on eternal life, not life here. I said, did you know, Paul, you're not going to die? Looked at me. I said, well, your body will die, but you're not going to die. You're just going to change addresses. I said, you're going from temporary life to eternal life. You're going from this world's life to everlasting life. He said, that makes sense. He said, you've helped me. He said, we've not told the girls. We've waited for you to come. Can you tell the girls tonight? I said, I will. And I sat in the living room with my wife beside me and Paul and Crystal and 2 precious little 6-year-old girls. And I looked at those girls and I said, girls, I said, you know Papa's sick. Oh, yeah. I said, Papa's really sick. I said, and Papa's going to get sicker. He's not going to get better. He's never going to get better here. I said, and eventually Papa's going to be in a bed and not able to get out. I said, eventually Papa's going to die, but he's going to go to heaven and he's going to be all better. I said, we're going to miss him, but he's going to be okay. And I talked to him for a few minutes. I said, preacher, was that hard? Well, what do you think? It was hard on me. But when we got done, they went over and they hugged Papa. and went back to the room and played like kids will do. You say, why? Because I didn't make them afraid of it. I gave them the reality of it. Can I tell you something? God's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. This world is just preparation for eternity. I love what God says. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. He is not the, by the way, to the lost world, to the backslidden Christian, we only think of this world. How come it is when the news comes it's cancer or it's terminal or they've had a heart attack or a stroke that we then call to God? Why is it that only at the point of death do people want to talk to God? We were flying early Monday morning from BWI to Dallas. I got to tell this story. I wish my wife were here because I'd like to see her laugh. There was an elderly lady. She was 88, and her husband, who was about 79, they were traveling. We traveled to Southwest, and of course they think priority boarding means if they're first in line, that they get to go first. It's not how it works. There's others that board, and this lady was giving the guy at the podium a little bit of a piece of her mind. Four times. And finally, the fifth time, he raised his voice. He said, ma'am, just wait for the fifth time. I'll tell you when to come. And she was cranky little thing. As Lot would have it, guess who sat across the aisle from my wife and I? Challenge accepted. Of course, once we got on the plane and things, and I've got my Bible out, I was working on sermons. We had taken off. I had the tray table down, light on. And I'm just working away. Say, what was your wife doing? Sleeping like she should have been. She had her head on my shoulder while I was working. And all of a sudden, about an hour into the flight, I hear this cranky old lady. What's wrong with you? What's the matter? What's wrong? And I could hear the intensity level increasing. And then it got a little bit panicky. And I unbuckled my seat belt and pushed things aside. And I grabbed her by the arm and I said, ma'am, do you need help? She said, something's wrong. He's not responding. Thinking, oh man, the guy had a heart attack on the plane. He's literally sitting there like this. I mean, non-responsive. I said, just a minute. And I ran up the aisle, got the stewardess, and I said, we've got a medical emergency. You're going to need more than just you. You better get some help. I ran back, and she had his hand across on her lap, but it's limp. I grabbed his arm, and I knew how to grab it, and he felt the pulse all in one motion. And I could feel a pulse, though it was light. It was there, and I could see that he was breathing. I said, ma'am, does he have diabetes? No, he doesn't have diabetes. Does he have heart problems? He's supposed to have stents in a couple weeks. Okay. I'm on an airplane with him. And the stewardess and a couple of the other folks from the airlines were converging at this time. And I said, he's not diabetic. He does have some heart issues. He's breathing and has a pulse. And I stepped back. I said, you might check his hydration. That's all they said. And they start talking to him and they're getting information. The one guy runs to the mic. Do we have any people from the medical profession here? And nobody on the... And the lady looked at me. She said, are you a doctor or a nurse? I said, not that kind. Come to find out, he was dehydrated. He'd been hospitalized 3 times in the last 6 weeks for dehydration. So they started pouring water down his throat. Got two bottles of water in him, and he starts coming back out of this thing. Finally got everybody calmed down. We're about 20 minutes from landing, and old cranky lady She looked at me. She said, "Young man." I said, "Can you say that again?" She said, "What?" I said, "Young man, I don't get that very often." She had a British accent. Big old smile hit her face. She said, "To me, everybody's young. I'm 88. I said, "Oh, I love you." And she just smiled. She said, "Sometimes he can't walk very well after this." I said, "I'll help him." She said, "Well, they're going to give us a wheelchair, but the lady on the other side needs to get out, and I know we can't move fast enough." I said, "I'll get him up. We'll wait till this row leaves. I'll stand him up, take two steps, sit him down. Everything will be okay." She said, "I don't know what I'd do without you." I said, "Can you say that again?" That lady hugged me. I wonder how many people thought she was just a cranky lady. As I saw what transposed, I saw somebody was concerned about her husband. She wanted to make sure he was cared for. Now watch this. This world thinks only of this world as their life, though. Did you know there's more to life than what you see here in this world? God is a God of life, not the God of death. John 10:10 says, "For I am come to give," Jesus has come to give life and to give it more abundantly. It amazes me that the world says, live any way you want, live it up. Can I tell you, the world is not living it up, they're dying it up. The immorality, the confusion, the alphabet soup people that don't know if they're a man, woman, or something in between. They don't even know if they're a plant or an animal or a dog or a cat or a human. Well, folks, by the time I was 3 or 4 years old, I knew which bathroom to go to. I knew if I was a boy or a girl. Did you know two bulls have no trouble knowing that they're bulls? Two roosters have no problems realizing they ain't going to have eggs. It's pretty bad when barnyard animals have more sense than people have. Oh, just live it up. Do whatever you want. They're not living it up. They're dying it. You want to live it up? Live like God said live. Life's out of this world then. You see, they don't know what they're missing. They say, "Oh, you don't know what you're missing. Go out and get drunk or stoned or get high, do drugs, do this." Yeah, you're all the ones dying and I'm the one still alive. I have no regrets. You do. They say, "We don't know what we're missing." Well, if they call that living, I'm glad I'm missing that part of life. There is far more to life than what you can see, feel, or experience here in this world. Let's look a little bit more about this thing of God being the God of the living. First of all, Satan is the God of death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." Now, let me ask you a question. If somebody offered you life or death, which would you take? Life. God offered man eternal life here on earth. God made man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female. But Satan came in, the father of death, the father of sin. And he said, "Eve, in the day thou eatest, thou shalt not surely die." You could be like God, knowing good and evil for yourself. You could choose right and wrong. You don't need God to tell you. You could be your own God. And we have a world full of people wanting to be their own God, deciding what's right and wrong for themselves. "Well, I don't want to do what God says. I want to do what I think should do. I'm afraid I might get sick if I go in public." We have a world that's afraid to obey God because of their health. Can I tell you something? I'd rather die in obedience to God than to live in obedience to the devil. Any day. We didn't shut Grace Baptist Church down during COVID. I didn't take anybody's temperature. I'm not against you wearing a mask. I didn't make anybody wear a mask. I didn't say, I've had COVID. My dad had it. My wife had it. My kids had it. Everybody's had COVID by now. Time or two or three or four or five or six. I lost my taste and smell 26 months ago. Never got it back. I still don't smell or taste anything. Thank you, China. That didn't come because of God. It came because of the devil. Sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me read you several verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Boy, do we not live in a world where the minds of people are blinded by the devil? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge to the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now look at me. We live in a world where it is controlled by the God of this world. You have people thinking they're cats and dogs. My daughter was telling me a story somewhere, I think it was in Georgia, that this kid came to his dad and said that he wanted to identify as a cat. He said, okay. They got home and it was dinner time and they sat at the table and he said, shoo. He said, your bowl's down there. You're not eating with us. Cats don't eat what people eat. Had a bowl full of cat food for him. But Dad, I don't listen to animals talk. About 2 hours later, that kid finally came back and said, Dad, I don't want to identify as a cat anymore. Amazing what would happen if parents would start rearing their kids God's way.
Amen.
Good thing it wasn't my home, my dad's home, because my dad hates cats. I'd have probably been shot had I said that. Trust me. Been buried out back. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of those that are lost. Folks, nobody with any sense thinks that there's no such thing as a man or a woman. There's no human in this world with any sense of any kind thinking that a man is going to have babies. And there's no woman in the world with the right mind that wants to be a man. She has better sense. And fellas, there ain't no man in the world that wants to be a woman because we got better sense. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Somebody got to preach it, amen? Satan was the first sinner and brought sin and death into existence. You don't need to turn there, but let me read the words of Isaiah chapter 14 to you, verses 11 through 15. The Bible says, thy pomp is brought down to the grave. Oh, grave. Grave only comes with one thing. What's that? And the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee and the worms cover thee. Well, the worms don't live on top of the ground. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Satan, Lucifer, was an archangel in heaven. He was one of the three most powerful angels in heaven. Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. They answered directly to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. He decided he wanted to be God. He didn't need to listen to God, and his pride became sinful. And God said, that's it. You're done. And God created hell, according to the book of Matthew, for the devil and his angels. He created this super torture chamber for those who followed Satan in the rebellion against God in heaven. Here's what most people miss. Michael, that was before the creation of man. Because who was it that came to man in the Garden of Eden? And the serpent, Lucifer, Satan. It had already been created, and the punishment for sin had been established by Almighty God, which was death and hell. And yet man listened to the devil and decided to be his own God, just like the devil. We decided we don't need to obey God. We could be our own God and decide right and wrong, good and evil for ourselves. Well, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? He doesn't. We choose to go there ourselves. Matter of fact, the Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels, not man. Later, because man chose to sin, God said, hell hath expanded itself. He had to enlarge it and make it bigger because man chose to sin. Yes, sir. It was not in the plan of God for man to die and go to hell. But because we sin and did exactly what the devil did, God's justice requires the same punishment. Oh, would to God we would hold our politicians in the same form. Amen. But I want you to notice something. God loved man so much that he gave salvation available to us. Jesus came, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, shed his blood at Calvary, died, was buried, and resurrected 3 days and three nights later to conquer sin and death, to capture the keys of death and hell, so that man did not have to die and go to hell. He did not do that for the devil and the angels that followed. God loved man so much, he made an escape available from hell, and yet we still won't do what God says and do it his way. Well, I'll go to church and get baptized. You can get baptized in every church, every pond, every creek, every river, till you know every tadpole by name and die and go to hell. Baptism is something you do. Well, it's holy water. It came out of the same hole in the ground.
Amen.
Hate to disappoint you. Well, I've got to join the church and I've got to go to classes and I've got to understand all the doctrines of the... No, that's something that you do, and the doctrines of the church don't matter. The doctrines of the Word of God is what matters. It is not by our righteousness, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ that you get saved. Hey, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't get saved by tradition. We don't get saved by lighting candles and praying with beads and talking to statues and asking Mary, the mother of God, which is a blasphemy in and of itself. Did you read the news this week? The Catholics finally had it exposed, the truth, what they really believe. The Immaculate Conception is not about Jesus, but Mary. They believe that Mary was the Immaculate Conception, not Jesus. She was born without original sin. That's their doctrine. It's wicked as hell. Everybody doing okay? By the way, she didn't have a relationship with God and conceive seed. The Bible says that the seed was placed in her womb. Everybody doing okay? Satan was the first sinner. The penalty was given before the creation of man. And in Genesis 3, when man sinned, we took on us the same punishment that came on the devil and his angels because we committed the same sin. The devil is the author of death, not God. The devil wants you to believe that only what you have here is what matters. There's so many things I want to say, and I've got to hurry. Let me read a verse to you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25 says this. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth. Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Amazing how we are not supposed to believe anything about God. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. The devil has some fun. There's always a hook in it and it doesn't last and it ends up worse than the fun. How about we give the devil the blame for every funeral instead of God? How about we give the devil the blame for picking out caskets and urns? Instead of saying, God, why did you make us go through this? How about every child that is miscarried or dies at birth or every abortion? How about we blame the devil and not God? In a crowd this size, and I know some of the people in here, I'll guarantee there's 15 or 20 ladies in here who have had a miscarriage. Is that God's fault? No. That's sin, the devil. But yet we want to blame God for that. We want to blame God for every person that dies. God came to give life and life more abundantly. He's the God of the living, not the God of the dead. Yes, sir. Quit blaming God for a car accident. Quit blaming God for cancer. Sin and the devil brought that, not God. Sure. If you get saved, the consequences of your sin will never be held, you'll never be held accountable for those things. But you're still held accountable for it in your flesh here. Because you're still a sinner. Everybody doing okay? Hey, how about we give the devil the credit for every cemetery? Every hospice and hospital. God is not the God of the cemetery. He's the God of the birthing room. He's the God of the living, not the God of the dead. 2 years ago Friday, my mama went to heaven. I texted Mrs. Diener because her husband went to heaven the same day. Oh yeah, I remember. I talked to my dad, my brother. Yesterday when Mindy and Michael got in town, and Josh and Ruth Ann, and they went to the graveside to see my mom's grave. I'm happy for them. We remember. But I hate to tell you, you can stand over that stone looking at a piece of grass and dirt. My mama ain't there. She's up in heaven having the time of her life. She's taking care of 5 great grandbabies that are there. She's running. She's cooking. And I'll guarantee she's washed the gold more than any human being alive up there other than my grandmother. There ain't a speck of dirt and she's happy. Everybody doing all right? Brother Jimbo's up there. He's built some stuff for Miss Loretta, and he's got a hunting cabin built for me by now. Brother Scott, your mama's there. And I'm sure she's organized some of the apartment buildings up there, I'm sure. How about we quit blaming God? Watch this. Jesus raised the dead. He didn't cause them to die. So why do we want to blame? Let me ask you the question I was asked this week by Paul at 56 years old. Why do I have to die now? And I said, Paul, at what age and at what time is it appropriate for someone to die? Less than a mile from where I stand, Brother Jim Boers, one of our a Korean War vet, sat with him yesterday, Brother Barnes and I did, at 91 years old. He broke his hip a couple few months ago. He can't wait to get back in church. You say, well, when you get to a certain, at 91, he's still doing pretty good. So at what time and at what age is it appropriate? Why don't you quit playing God? Well, if I were God, that's the problem. You're not. Quit thinking that way. The wages of sin is death, not the wages of God. How about we realize Jesus raised the dead? He didn't cause them to die. He came to give us life and life more abundantly and to give us eternal life, not just life here.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Second of all, God is the God of the living. God intended for man to live forever. Luke chapter 20, verse number 38. Don't turn there. You'll not get there as fast as I will. Luke chapter 20, verse number 38 says this. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. God is the God of the living. God did not make man for death. Man chose sin and death. This is why there is a struggle at the end of what we call life. Miss Loretta, Matthew, Scott, Brother Ron, your father-in-law recently, and others in this room. Brother Larry, your mama just went to heaven a couple weeks ago. My mom, there's a struggle at that death time. I'm going to use Brother Jimbo. Y'all that knew Brother Jimbo, he was ornery. He was nearing an end, and we thought he was gone, and everybody was kind of weeping and saying their last goodbyes, and he went about a minute and didn't breathe, and we thought he was in heaven, and all of a sudden he starts breathing again. And Loretta said, "You ain't done yet." He waited another minute or two, and then for the third time, by that time we're all laughing. She said, "Okay, when are you going to be done?" Wait a minute. He got his last laugh. Bob, he's so ornery, he ain't never going to die. God doesn't want him yet. Wait a minute. But you take the struggle that your mama had and the struggle Jimbo had and others, and Matthew, your wife. There's a struggle. It's not that the body is struggling to die. It's struggling to live. God made it to live forever. Death is foreign to the body. That's why you can take a heart out of a 90-year-old person and put it in a teenager and it'll last another 90 years. It's made to pump and pump and pump and pump and go forever. Sin is what causes the death, not God. God loved man enough to make eternal life available to us and paid for it by Jesus Christ. He didn't make that offer to the devil. When we get saved, we never die. We just change addresses. Our body may die, but we don't die. Our soul and our spirit does not die. I looked at Paul this week and said, "Paul, do you know for sure you're saved?" He said, "I do." I said, "That means this, you're not going to die." He looked at me. I said, "Oh, your body will, but you're not. You're just going to change locations. Because the last breath you take here, you're going to go, ah, I'm in heaven." He said, "Well, that makes sense." I said, "You don't have to worry about anything here. I got you." John chapter 5, verse number 24. Let me read it to you. John chapter 5, verse number 24 says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." He is not going from life to death. We're going from death to life.
Amen.
God doesn't say when for the saved that you're going from life to death. You are going from death to life. God determines life by eternity, not here.
Amen.
This is temporary. Heaven's eternal.
Amen.
Boy, there's so many things I want to say, but I got point number three I got to get to because I'm about to shout. For the saved, death on earth is just a change of address to heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn there real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm about to shout. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse number 8. "We are confident, I say, in willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Did you know if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've been saved, that the moment your body, your soul, and your spirit leave this body, you're in the presence of God Himself.
Amen.
I promise you. Not because I said it, because God said it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's immediate. The spirit, their spirit and their soul do not stay here and talk with you after death.
Amen.
That's weird.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I heard them speaking. If you did, do-do-do-do. I hate to disappoint. Well, I saw their hand and I know they're here because the door shut. Now, come on, folks. You've watched too many ghost scenes or something or other. Because my Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And God knows they ain't going to come back to this place.
Amen.
Now, you may be thinking about them and see something happen and know what they would have said. Oh, when my mama was still alive, I could hear her saying things to me and she wasn't talking out loud. I'd heard it so many times, I knew what she was going to say. Y'all know what when I say like hot snot on a silver platter and nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate, I can hear her saying, "Honey, don't do that." There's no such thing as they're still here. They died, but they're still lingering. Folks, the moment you take your last breath here and the heart stops, you're in the presence of God. I believe there are times where there's a machine keeping the breathing or the heart going, but they're already gone and in heaven.
Yep.
Michael, that happened with your mama. Remember the day? Talk to your family. 3 months after they'd been married. Mama was 52 years old, I believe. Had a hernia that had ruptured and poisoned her insides. And they were keeping her alive by machines. And I was talking with the family there at the hospital by phone. And I said, "What would Mama want?" And all of them in agreement said she doesn't want to live by a machine because she's not going to live. I said, "Well, then you don't have to make the decision. She already did. Let's obey her." It didn't make it easy. It's hard. But she was already playing tag with the angels. 2 years ago Friday, I called the hospital early in the morning and said, "Okay, it's time to take Mom off life support." I had to do the same thing for my mom that I did for his mom. But can I tell you something? "Well, you killed your mom." My mama was already in heaven. Or she was pretty close. She was seeing the other side. Luke chapter 16. To this world, to the lost world, this is all that there is. Luke chapter 16, verse number 22 says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell lifted up his eyes, being torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." Here's a man that was wealthy and a man that was a beggar. The beggar was saved and died and went to heaven, and the wealthy man died and lifted up his eyes in hell, and he wanted the beggar to dip his finger in water and put it in his mouth just to cool the torment. Lazarus now had eternity in heaven to look forward to, and the rich man had nothing but hell. Heaven is just as real a place as earth is. John chapter 14, verse number 1, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I could go through a lot of these verses. I'm not going to. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 3 talk about Jesus talking about this in an amazing way. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him." They're people that had died 4,000 years before, talking to Jesus. 2,000 years. It's a real place.
Amen.
Heaven's just as real as planet Earth is.
Right.
Our friends and our loved ones who are saved are there and more alive than they've ever been here on this earth.
Sure.
They're not dying. They're not aging. They're not hurting. Nor are they facing any consequences for their sins like we are. By the way, they would not come back even if they could. Why would they want to leave that to come here? I mean, they got Sleepy Joe to look forward to down here. Our sadness at death is our selfishness. We're going to miss them. You're right. Our selfishness of wanting that person here more than we want them to be okay in heaven. Please don't get angry with me. But why do we want to hold people away from eternal life? You watched me as I went through the death of my very own mother, and I didn't lose it. Preacher, how? Because she was doing better than she's ever done down here. She was very sick. Oh, I miss her. I didn't want her to go. But since she was gone, why would I want to hold her back from it? We need to learn that life in eternity is based on what we do here on earth. But there's more to life than just what's here on earth. Thank God that Jesus is alive. Our God is the only one that death could not hold. You can go to Muhammad's grave and his bones are there. You can go to Buddha and Confucius and their bones are there. You can go to Israel, and guess what? There's no bones there.
Amen.
Guaranteed. See, how do you know? Because he conquered death. His tomb is empty. We don't worship his death. We worship the God of the living, not the God of the dead.
Amen.
We serve the God of the living, the only eternal God who gives eternal life. Hey, maybe we should quit blaming God for death and start thanking him for eternal life. Let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm not talking about joining a church, some ritual. I'm talking about you realized you were a sinner, and because you're a sinner, there's a penalty on sin, which is death and hell. And that Jesus came and paid that price for you with his birth, his life, his death, his shed blood, and his resurrection. He did all that to pay for our death and our hell for us. Have you ever trusted that and that alone to take you to heaven? Maybe we ought to start deciding we're going to serve the God of the living and not the God of the dead. Maybe we need to quit holding death against God and realize it's a process of sin because we're all sinners. By the way, it's proof we're all sinners. We're all going to die. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Thank God we serve the God of the living, not the God of the dead. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I know I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down.